how hard is it? Like, yeah. Really hard to change your mind.
Right.
Especially when what you believe is sort of tied up with who you actually are.
Yeah.
That's what we're digging into today. We've got this this really compelling story about an old carpenter navigating a world that just kept shifting under his feet.
It's a journey a lot of us can probably relate to, isn't it? We're looking at that that interplay between these really deep beliefs we hold, the challenges the world throws at us, and these, well, these psychological loops. Loops that can trap us or maybe, just maybe, set us free.
Yeah, so let's talk about Elian. He's our carpenter.
Yeah.
60 years, you know, understanding the world through his hands.
Well,
old growth, oak, cedar, dovetail joints. That was his reality.
Right.
And his core belief was simple.
Why
the
not?
Old ways were best. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were forged in truth. Anything, just flimsy stuff.
And that belief, it wasn't just an opinion about wood. It was, like the source material says, the actual roof over his identity.
Wow. Roof over his identity.
Yeah. So that makes challenging those beliefs incredibly difficult. It feels less like debating facts and more like, well, like someone's trying to tear down your house, psychologically speaking.
And he wasn't alone in thinking this way.
Mm-hmm.
His routine, right?
Yeah.
Coffee every day with friends, guys his age, worn hands.
Yeah.
Basically his echo chamber.
Oh, absolutely. A perfect example of social reinforcement.
Mm.
When you're surrounded by people who share your certainty, it doesn't just confirm your belief, it actually makes it stronger, intensifies it.
Right.
Shared certainty.
So maybe news about floods or fires somewhere far off comes on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Ilian immediately defaults to his confirmation bias. He looks for the flaws in any new building method shown, finds them, and his friends are right there nodding along. Worldview confirmed. Again.
So it's like a cycle. The belief, the social proof, dismissing contradictory stuff.
Exactly. It's a really strong loop. Makes it super easy to just wave away anything that doesn't quite fit. You might not even realize you're doing it.
But the challenge, it didn't come from the TV, did it? It came closer to home.
No.
His granddaughter, Maya.
Yeah.
Maya, she comes for the summer.
Yeah.
Laptops full of these, you know, modern designs.
Yeah.
Talking about sustainable materials, climate adaptation, architecture that, get this, breathed with the planet.
Okay.
For Elian, that felt like sandpaper against the smooth finish of his life. I love that phrase.
It's good, isn't it? And Maya's presence, it wasn't a lecture. It was just this constant kind of low-level exposure to challenging information.
Right. Just her being there.
Then she shows him blueprints, a community center
mm-hmm.
made with cross-laminated timber, recycled steel.
And Elian.
He scoffed, saw it as weak, flimsy. Just fundamentally wrong compared to his ways.
And you can feel it becoming personal there.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't just critiquing wooden nails. It felt like she was critiquing him, his whole life's work. He felt this hot flash of anger.
That's it. That's the identity defense loop firing up. Bang.
Yeah.
Because the beliefs are so fused with his sense of self, an argument against a belief feels like a direct attack on him personally.
It just shuts down the conversation.
Totally. Instinct is to defend, protect the self, not necessarily to evaluate the new information openly.
Then came the big test. A massive storm, a flood like they'd never seen. And at first, well, yeah, Ling saw this new house, probably built quickly, get ripped right off its foundation.
Vindicating his bias, right? Grimly satisfying, maybe.
Yeah, like, see, told you. But then, devastating news. The old library, solid brick, built by his own grandfather.
Oh, no.
Ruined. Foundation completely undermined by the floodwaters.
Oof. And that creates this this unbearable hum the source talks about. That's cognitive dissonance.
Explain that hum.
It's when you hold two conflicting ideas in your head at the same time, and it creates real mental discomfort. Here's the old ways are infallible, AD. The old ways just failed spectacularly.
They can't both be.
Exactly. And the evidence, the ruined library is right there. Undeniable. It creates this like physical ache. Your identity wants to retreat, but reality is just staring you in the face.
So later, Maya comes to him, gently, you know, with sympathy, unrolls her blueprint again, starts talking about planning for the water now, building foundations differently, working with the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And Ilan's mind is just racing, trying desperately to find the flaw, find a way back to his comfortable certainty. But all he sees is the library's, you know, broken spine.
And that's the moment. That combination, the undeniable failure of the old way, plus Maya offering a constructive path forward, not just criticism. It starts to crack those reinforcing walls around his belief.
He sees her differently.
Yeah, maybe not as a challenger anymore, but as someone, well, building a future. He's actually engaging with the information now instead of just defending against it.
The change wasn't like a lightning bolt, though. It was quiet. About a week later, they're salvaging stuff from the library, and Elian just asks her,
What did he ask?
He says, how does that laminated timber hold the weight?
There it is. That simple question. That's the flicker. That's openness to change.
Just a question.
But it's huge. It's admitting you don't know something. It's conceding that your grain of the world, your way of seeing things, might not be the only way. It's the start of resolving that dissonance by actually updating his view.
So Elian starts sketching again, but now his old lines are mixing with these new shapes. He's still Elian the Carpenter, valuing strength, permanence.
Right.
But his definition of strength and permanence is expanding. He's learning, really learning, to read a whole new grain.
It's a powerful reminder, isn't it, that real learning, deep change, often doesn't start with having the answer. It starts with a question, a quiet question maybe, that challenges something we hold really deep.
Yeah, it makes you think.
It's in that curiosity, that willingness to ask, that new possibilities really start to open up.
So maybe the question for you listening is, what are those grains of the world that you hold on to, the things you just know? And when things change, what quiet question might be the start of your journey to seeing new patterns?